This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is a Thursday. It means that we do have our power suit. And this evening, we are joined by Mate Ogaba. Now, if you're wondering who that is, that's the CEO of the Association for Communication and Advertising. And we wanted to have a conversation today about, you know, first of all, her career, who she is, but really understanding this sector that many people wish to operate in. Many might say are saturated, but one that is still really trying to drive a transformation agenda. Mate joins us now on the line. Mate, good evening. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. And how are you?
I'm fabulous.
Now, thank you so much for joining us this evening, Mate. I think we can certainly start by just finding out who Mate is, where's Mate from, and how does she land in the advertising industry?
Okay. I don't know how far back you want to go, but I'll go as back as what is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lady who grew up in Soweto.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I ended up in this advertising game through being defiant.
Mm-hmm.
And defiant in a way that when I was in matric in the 90s, I kind of said to my principal, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be what is expected. I want to go into advertising. And I knew nothing about it at the time. But then my principal stroke career guidance person said, oh, the business for liars. I was like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to do it anyway. And I ended up in this space, went to AAA School of Advertising. Mm-hmm. Thereafter started working at Gray Advertising, and then I worked for Herd Boys McCann Erickson at the time, and then also worked at for McCann's New York. Mm-hmm. And then worked for Sonnenberg Murphy Leah Burnett, but I worked for the media division of it called Starcom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got tired and I was like, I need to do something different. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up at the SABC.
Interesting.
And my tenure at the SABC lasted 11 years. And that was the good old days of the SABC,
mm-hmm.
when broadcasting was broadcasting. And I'm not saying broadcasting is not broadcasting now, but it was interesting times at that time. It was a profitable organization. Mm-hmm. And then in 2011, I kind of said, oh, I'm a bit tired of this game. Mm-hmm. Let me do something different. And I had been at the SABC for 11 years. Then I ended up in financial services. I'm not going to mention the name.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up in financial services. But for me, that was the most boring job I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Good money, but boring.
Mm-hmm.
And thereafter, I came back into the ad game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm at now.
So I'm very keen to find out about, you know, progressing in this sector and maybe even the kind of strengths that you figured out you quickly had to develop to get ahead in the advertising industry, that we know that even though it's seen as maybe, you know, creative and artsy-fartsy, it's actually rather cutthroat.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is cutthroat. Because also, I think there's a je ne sais quoi. I don't even know what to use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use a French.
It's that thing.
What you need to have
mm-hmm.
in order to survive in the space. And also, and I think people will think I'm being horrible, but you can't be a crybaby.
Mm.
You really have to know how to toughen up. And yes, you can cry, but go cry in your own private time. Work has got to get done.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to deliver. We've got deadlines. And clients are demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And when clients are demanding, you've got to deliver. The clients actually are a core of the advertising business. So you've got to pander to the wants and needs of a client. But also, I think people think it's only about drawing pictures, but there's a thinking behind the drawing pictures. Mm-hmm. Before you get to the drawing pictures, there's a thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we sometimes forget that ad people are actually great thinkers. And ad people, a clever ad just doesn't appear on its own. There's a strategy behind that. And the desires of what the brand needs to achieve, what the business needs to achieve. So there's big thinking behind how you get here. And you can't just get in thinking it's about drawing pictures. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it than that.
Now, there's actually various aspects of this industry, Martin. Maybe you can talk us through some of them. You know, you could have worked in sponsorship. You could have worked in, you know, marketing and comms. You could have worked in pure advertising when you're putting an ad together. This is a very comprehensive field of work that, like you say, embodies very specific kinds of thinkers. Talk to us about the different roles that you played and, you know, just being able to embody these different skills to survive and thrive in each of them.
You know, when I first walked into the industry, and it's so funny how the industry is big but small. Mm. The lady who trained me, I came in as a strategist. Her name is Anne Newrock. Mm-hmm. And she was my first boss when I got into the game. But as a strategist, that's where you think. That's where you do the blueprint kind of thing. But strategist for me wasn't quite what I wanted to do. And then I kind of branched into the media game and I became a media strategist. And that's how I then managed to get out of the advertising game and get into the media game, as in the SABC. But as a media strategist, it's analytical, it's research, it's numbers. I wasn't good at math at school, but I was good at accounting. Mm-hmm. And somehow, I became a fairly good media strategist. Mm-hmm. And I understood in terms of audiences, reach, frequency, how ads are placed on different mediums, on radio, on television, in print, on outdoor. What are the things you need to measure in order to get great impact? So that's the space that I kind of, my career took off in, which then kind of steered me into the media game. And that's how I ended up at the SABC. But besides where I've been, there's also client service. Client service is a career where you are the liaison between the agency and the client. Mm-hmm. And then there's the creative department, where you get the copywriter and you get the creative director. The copywriter writes the clever copy. Mm-hmm. The creative director does the clever pictures or the beautiful pictures or the beautiful scenery or the very basic, you want to sell transactions at a bank, this is what you do, and it's simple, and there's a template. Mm-hmm. There's people who work with templates, and there's people who work with more creative stuff. Mm-hmm. But as a creative person, you learn to do all kinds of communication and all kinds of creative that will talk to the customer. The customer is always at the center of what we do in advertising. We don't do anything without bearing the customer in mind. The customer is always important. As they say, customer is king. Mm.
Now, I'm actually keen to find out about you emerging as the CEO of the Association for Communication and Advertising and what that actually means for your day-to-day, but also what that might mean for the advertising industry as a whole.
Well, my role at the ACA is more primarily about ensuring our relationships with our stakeholders, and government being one of the stakeholders, our clients being the stakeholders, but also, more importantly, we are a member organization as the ACA. Mm-hmm. So agencies, South African agencies, subscribe to be members of the ACA. And in being members of the ACA, There's a code of conduct we are governed by, how we play fair in the environment, and how we transform the industry, that the industry does not remain where it used to be pre-94, mm-hmm. Lily White, that there are we allow access to other players of color, to women. So transformation becomes a big thing of what we do for our industry, and also empowering young people to be able to be educated in the space and educated in the space so that they can take on roles within the agencies. So we can see ourselves creating communication that is for the core customers of South Africa. As we know, majority of South Africa are people of color. Mm. And as it being people of color, we need to ensure that it's not just it's not just white people creating communication for us. Mm-hmm. There's a multitude, there's a diverse staff complement that can create communication for the rest of South Africa.
So I'd actually like to speak about transformation in the advertising industry, because I think this is possibly one of those issues, probably similar to many industries, where we are talking about transformation, but it's just happening slowly. And we can maybe speak about it from a race perspective, but also from a gender perspective. Talk to us about that, Matthew, and maybe even your own, your own musings, your own lessons, really, as a Black woman from Soweto emerging in this industry.
If I had to tell you my story of why I really left advertising, was because it was not transformed. And I started in advertising in 1995. And it not being transformed, I was one of those newbies in the industries of color. And being a newbie of color, I got promoted very quickly because clearly I was good at what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But even being promoted very quickly, I had no respect from my white colleagues. And they could easily use the K word, easily say they're not going to listen to what I'm saying. And I think at the time, the battle was of one person or two people or three people, you know? And it wasn't a battle of many people. And then I decided to walk away, because even the people I was reporting this kind of racial altercation to were not hearing my story and not recognizing my pain, that I want to be seen for the work that I do and not for the color of my skin. I'm on par, or if not better, than some of my white colleagues. Why can't I be recognized for that? So with that said, I walked away from the industry. And in my return to the industry, I would like to say, yes, I can see there are more people of color playing in the field, but is it enough? We can do better, all right? Mm-hmm. And we can do better at a management level, at a in terms of staff complement. If you look at most of my member agencies, and that's who I can speak on behalf of better than the entire industry per se, I think as an entire sector, we can do much better. But because there are still agencies that are outside of the ACA, and I've heard this in conversations where people are like, why must I share my business with people of color? They didn't work as hard as I did to set up the business. There are those conversations that happen outside of the ACA. Mm-hmm. And those people need to jump on board, or they need to understand and feel, if you do not live in the South Africa we all live in, what does non-transforming look like for you as a business? And I think what I beg clients for is clients need to penalize agencies that are not transformed. Mm-hmm. Because there are agencies that are not transformed. But us as a sector, we can't penalize ourselves. It's clients who need to penalize the non-transformed agencies to transform. That 2020, 2021 was a very difficult year. Mm-hmm. And I think 2022 then became the resuscitation. And it was not just other businesses that were impacted. The advertising sector was largely impacted. Mm-hmm. Some people had to close their agencies, downsize their staff. And also for us in our industry is COVID impacted on us like that, but also there's the impact of clients moving around to different agencies mm-hmm. where agencies have to downscale because business has moved. And if a big client, you lose a big client, then and that big client is primarily your primary client, then your business struggles a lot. But if you've got a few clients that are able to keep your revenue coming in, then your survival rate is a bit better. But it's a business where leaders need to be agile. Mm. And agility could mean lots of different things. Agility could mean downsizing your office. Now you have 10 people and then people coming in and out. It could mean a lot of things. It could mean, excuse me, it could mean a lot of things. But what is important is that as the ACA, we kind of try to help our members through the 2 years of COVID because we all didn't know what was going on. We all didn't know whether we were going left or right. So information was critical at that stage. Information of what do we do when this happens? What do we do in closing offices? What does it mean? So the ACA offered members the assistance when it came to that side of the business, communicating all the initiatives that were being put in by our government in terms of for survival of small businesses, survival of businesses that are feeling the impact of a large part of their business are feeling the impact of what has happened. So, yeah, we had to kind of be agile as the ACA in giving support to our members.
I'd like to come back to you, Mate, as a business leader and possibly zoning in on your aspirations for the sector and maybe for the rest of your career. And I know that you are also, you know, very passionate about education and women. Yeah. So let's talk also about, you know, the work that you do there in empowering others.
I think there's a program that we run, which my colleague and I, Sharon Bergman, are very proud of. And this is Leadership for Women, where we've managed to ask our agencies to recommend middle management women who need that push in terms of being able to propel to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we started this program actually in 2021. Or 2022, I'm not sure of the dates properly, but we started this program and we put through around 50 women through this program who have gone back into their agencies and have been given the leverage to feel more confident and to be more courageous in taking a stand and a business stand in their environment. So that's a program we're really passionate about. We also, and a lot of the stuff that we are passionate about is ensuring education gets into the right hands in order to empower people to be able to feel confident in the environments they operate in. But also the one other thing that I sit also on the, sorry, I didn't complete my sentence, mm-hmm. but I sit on the MacCharta Council, mm-hmm. which is also the council that, and I'm going to use this word very loosely, mm-hmm. that ensures and polices transformation in our sector. Mm. So we the MacCharta Council was established in March, on the 25th of March 2022 by Minister Ngungubele, Mondli Ngungubele. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm not Zulu speaking, so okay. I apologize.
It really is fine.
Yeah, for my pronunciation. But we are, and what basically we are in the process of doing right now is reviewing the code that was set up in 2016 in terms of ensuring our agencies delivering on the transformation goals that were set for the sector. So that's another piece of work that we really, really are proud to be behind as the ACA. And also we want to work with government in order to get transformation actually done effectively in our industry and in our sector.
All right, well, Mate, thank you so much for, your time this evening, and also just weighing in on being an African girl in advertising this evening in our Power Suit segment. Mate Okaba is the CEO of the Association for Communication and Advertising, and she's just spoken to us about her career and, all the places it's taken her, but really where she finds herself now, which is the CEO of the association, and also trying to empower her community as well as trying to have oversight over the transformation agenda in the industry.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.